twice today, we have read the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the opening words of Psalm 22. And we read that psalm because it, 1,000 years before Christ, David, who was a prophet, was able to say exactly what happened to him. Of course, Jesus had that psalm to read. And no doubt he often read it. When you think of Jesus, you must think that he is the Son of God, but also that he is the Son of Man, which means that he is human like us, but without sin. So Jesus was being told there in that psalm that he would suffer and he would endure much pain. And this is the moment when Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the very thing for which he came to this world to do. Now, you know the meaning of the expression, this is it. Perhaps you've worked very hard, or you will do as you get older to pass an exam. But the day comes when you actually have to go into the room, sit down with nothing to help you, and just write that exam. It's now or it's never. Well, it might be later, but you know what I mean. And this was the moment that the Lord Jesus had been preparing for. Or it may be that if you like sport, if you like team sport, it may be that you have been playing in a league and now you're near the top, or you've been playing for a cup and now you're in the final. But you don't want to let down. You don't want to let yourself down. You don't want to let others down. You want to be at your very, very best. It's the day, the time has come that all the other times were just preparing. In fact, for those of you who like history, this was the most important day in the whole of the world's history. You can look it up if you want to and work it out over the many years. But you remember we read in Psalm 22, the kingdom is the Lord's and he is the governor among the nations. So what happened that day is the most important thing in all the world. It is the key to understanding history and all its events, all down the years, whether it's black history or white history, whether it's warfare or whether it's peace. This is the key from which you can think out everything else. But though it was the most significant day, it was pitch dark. Can you imagine that in a country like where Jesus was in Jerusalem, the sun at the middle of the day would be blazing down so hot? And suddenly the whole world was pitch black. It would mean, of course, that nobody really could be confident to move away from the cross. I mean, the people watching, they wouldn't see. Maybe the reason was that we shouldn't see what Jesus went through. It may be that it was just the earth under the hand of God was revolting at its creator being put to death. So it just shook on its foundations and was dark. Jesus had already said to the men who came to see him, This is your day. This is your darkness, the day of darkness. And so it was pitch black. But above all, that pitch black was the moment that the Lord Jesus knew that God, his heavenly Father, had turned away from him. Now, you all love your dads. Sometimes you like to cling to him. Sometimes you like to cuddle him or be hugged. And can you imagine that before the world was made, Jesus was with the Father and they loved one another? And this was the, even when he came to earth, he prayed regularly and was in contact with his Father. But this, these 3 hours, was the only time ever that he didn't have his Father. He had to go through what he was going to do absolutely alone. No angels, and not his heavenly Father. He asks a question. Why hast thou forsaken me? But he knew the answer. If there was a question, maybe he was quoting that psalm to give him strength. But he knew the answer. Before the earth was made, he and the Father talk with one another. I'm sure they often do. And the Father explained to the Son that not long after the world would be created, but it wasn't yet, Adam and Eve would sin. Their sin would be against God, denying him, believing the lie which Satan told them. And that sin separated them from God. They hid themselves in the garden. They'd never done that before. Never done that before. They hid themselves in the garden. And to be cursed, for the Lord cursed the ground for man's sake and the people there too, cursed to be separated from the Father. So on the cross, Jesus was bearing the curse that we should be bearing. He knew why God was forsaking him. He isn't suddenly saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It suddenly happened. And as a human being, suddenly in that moment, come to terms with it, he knew what was happening. And it was his expression that the Father, for the first time ever, had left him. Now, why was Jesus on the cross? What had they talked about before the world was made? Well, the Father had said to his Son, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, I will never be able to have any human being with me in heaven. Ever. Unless you go, and unless you go and be made a man, and you go and be made a man that will never ever do anything wrong. You will never sin, not from when you're a baby to when you are put to death, and you will be put to death. And that's the only way that people can be saved. You will bear their sin on that cross. Sins of those who believe in you. And Jesus agreed, we call it a covenant, but Jesus agreed before the world was made that when the time came, he would come into the world and he would be a human being as well as the Son of God, never seen. And he would take the place of guilty sinners. But what does taking the place of guilty sinners mean? Well, it means taking the punishment that a guilty sinner would receive from God. He'd receive it after he died. But sometimes we get punished during this world for things we've done wrong. We cut our hand on the sword, it may be an accident, but we feel it. And if we commit certain sins, we shall straight away no punishment for them. But often that punishment is being stored up for the day we die and for judgment day. But Jesus had said, yes, I'll go. Now, there never was anybody else qualified to do that. Every other single man or woman or boy or girl who's ever lived sinned. And none of them could have borne in their bodies the weight of sin. Only Jesus, because he never sinned. Because he was the Son of God and was the Son of Man, fully human. And so he went and bore on the cross the punishment that was due for our sin. If somebody doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus, there is a place that even Jesus describes as being in immediate torment. It tells a story about a man called Lazarus. And he says that the minute he was buried, he lifted up his eyes in hell and he was in torments straight away. When we die, our soul, the real part of us, is separated from our body. That's what it means. That's what death means. But the separation of our soul from God is what is described as the curse. The separation from God. But there was more than bearing our punishment. The Lord Jesus bore the punishment, but also the things that follow. Now, for an unbeliever, what follows is hell. And although Jesus never went to hell, and although he was on the cross, he suffered the torments of all his people put together just in that brief time. So the Lord Jesus suffered in a way that nobody else has ever suffered. My God, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he knew the answer. He knew what he had come to do. It was an expression of the sudden turning away of the Father's face. And the darkness that came that day. When you think of the time, it's wonderful. Just 3 hours. So all it needed to forgive the sins of everyone who would come to believe in him from the very earliest, like Abel, right through to the very last. In itself, that is one. Think of the concentration. All the evil powers that were concentrated on him just at that moment. So we do have a lot to love him for. And it does bring us right to the center of our sinfulness. But these things, Jesus bore that curse for us so that we don't have to bear it in the sight of God. And with that in mind, we love the Lord Jesus. We don't want to do anything that would grieve him. We want to repent of our sins, better still not to commit them, but we do. But the Lord died for our sins. And he endured in that 3 hours of darkness all the sins of all his people. And he endured what they would torment, be tormented, just for that time. But never did the Lord Jesus fail in his faith. Now, some things happen. We see things happen to people that makes us say, why does God allow this? I can't see that it's fair. I can't see that it's right. I can't see. And you know, that's what faith is for. To believe that God never does anything unfair, that he never does anything wrong, that everything he does is to be for the best, although we think it's horrible at the time, for all his people. And if we can't understand why, just it got to trust that God's character is all powerful, completely fair, and completely true, and has the power to work all the things together, all the network of events in human history, for good. He never lost his faith. He said, my God, even when God wasn't there to be seen, he said, my God, before why have self forsaken me? So it will. You probably know that Jesus said, it is finished. Not his life, but the work he came to do when those 3 hours had gone. I don't know if you know that the Lord Jesus said 7 different things while he was on the cross. Most of them were quite short. And no one of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John has the lot. So we have to put them together and try and make out the order in which they happened. But there is a generally accepted order. So as the darkness came down, the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then there is 3 hours of darkness. I imagine 3 hours of silence, but I'm not sure. There could be groans from the past. I don't know. And then he said something else. As the Father came back to the Lord Jesus, it suddenly got light again. That's how he knew. And he cried out, I thirst. And the only time he drank, we read 2 of the other occasions, was then. It was all over. Then immediately after that, he said, it is finished. And then immediately after that, he committed his soul into the hands of his Heavenly Father. So he knew his Father had come back to him. He knew that his Father was there to speak to. And he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Do you know what he did? He bowed his head and died. He'd been fully conscious, fully alert, all the time up till now. And it wasn't that he was not in command of his senses. Right the way through, the Lord Jesus had absolute control of himself. That's wonderful to think of during those 3 hours of darkness. He said, I sure didn't matter now, the work was done. Still had actually to die. But the work of taking away the sins of his people was over. The Father had just returned to him. And then the Lord bowed his head in reverence to the Father and in reverence to what the Father had enabled him to complete. And then he died. 3 days later, as you know, he rose again, and we'll be celebrating that on Easter Sunday. But you do know that the Jews count 3 days, counting both days. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, by Jesus counting, is 3 days. So there was 3 days. But it's further complicated, leave you to work it out with pencil and paper, by the fact that the Jewish day began at 6 o'clock at night and ended at 6 o'clock at night the next day. So you, working these things out, you can't just think like we think with our days. I pray that you will be serious with the Lord Jesus, knowing what he did, knowing what it cost him, know that you will always love him, and that you will always turn to him. And you see, two things were met together in Christ. God is absolutely just. Not one sin could come to heaven, else God wouldn't be God. On the other hand, there's nobody who loves like God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at Calvary, the justice of the Father, which made him turn away from the sight of all that sin, but it wasn't Jesus' sin, he had none. The justice made him turn away, but it was his love. And the love of the Saviour, it was his love that sent the Saviour to do it. I think you can remember some of that.